One of my deepest desires as a priest is to see an increase of devotion to the Holy Eucharist. To, in essence, effect a spiritual revolution in Eucharistic reverence. Because you see, the church possesses nothing greater, nothing holier than the most blessed sacrament of the altar. For in the Holy Eucharist dwells God Himself, the King of Heaven. Humbles himself in the form of bread and wine. This is truly, truly amazing. Now, for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be hearing the Bread of Life discourse from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. And Archbishop Aquila has asked that all the priests and deacons for these 5 weeks preach on the Most Holy Eucharist, because he knows that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith, because it is Christ himself. Now, if we take a look at our gospel, you'll notice the Eucharistic language. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to them. Now, some very bad theologians over the last 30 years have tried to tell us that this wasn't really a supernatural miracle, that Christ didn't really multiply bread and fish, but really, they say, the miracle was he got everybody to share what they had. All I have to say to that is that's a whole bunch of heretical hodgepodge. Christ Jesus multiplied bread and loaves because he's God. He performed a real miracle for the crowds to feed them, because God has a desire to feed his children. And this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves is a foreshadowing of the abundance of his love for us in the Holy Eucharist. Because if Christ can take ordinary bread and multiply it, then he can certainly take bread and wine and transform it into his very body and blood. Something far greater than just multiplying normal bread. We call this in the church transubstantiation. Transubstantiation. Because as Catholics, we believe that the substance of the bread and of the wine is no longer bread and wine. It's not. So it's incorrect to refer to it as bread and wine. It isn't bread and wine. It is the body and blood of God. Now, part of the doctrine of transubstantiation is that it looks like bread. It tastes like wine. If you drink too much, the church assures you, you will be inebriated. But nonetheless, it isn't bread and wine. That it becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the God-man, Jesus Christ. After the performance of the miracle, Jesus commands the apostles, gather the fragments left over so that nothing may be wasted. And the church has always interpreted this verse as a mandate for her to show the greatest care and respect for each fragment, each particle of the Most Blessed Sacrament. So, a question for us this evening. Would people know that you and I, by the way we behave before the Blessed Sacrament, really believe that the Eucharist is Christ? Would they know that we believe that the Eucharist is truly Christ, God and man, the King of heaven, by the way that we behave in his presence? Or have we become too casual in the presence of the Lord and the Most Blessed Sacrament? Something that can happen to all of us from time to time. Many people comment how edifying it is to see a priest reverent at the altar. But I can tell you what pulls the heart of this priest, is to see you and your devotion and your love for Christ in the Eucharist. So I want to look at some of the concrete gestures and practices and spiritual disciplines that we as Catholics have towards the Blessed Sacrament. Because our actions follow what we believe. And in fact, our actions and behavior can actually help shape what we believe. They go together, hand in hand. So, when we come into the church, we always genuflect if we're physically able as we enter and leave our pews at the beginning and end of Mass. And we do so with adoration. We don't just rush through it. But a good genuflection is truly to look at Christ present in the tabernacle, to fall on your right knee, and in your heart to adore him, to make some act of adoration and love, of faith. Lord Jesus, I believe you are truly present here in the tabernacle. I adore and I love you. Something simple, but with great intentionality. If we're not able, we make a profound bow as we enter and leave our pews. And whenever we cross the tabernacle, outside of Mass, we always genuflect to Christ because he is our King and our God. Before and after Mass, we're encouraged to kneel in prayer before Christ in the tabernacle to prepare ourselves for this awesome moment of entering into the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Because kneeling is a sign of humility, of adoration. It's a sign that we've come to worship God and we believe that this is truly him. We fall on our knees if we are able before him in prayer. And we try to keep a spirit of silence in the church before and after Mass so that those who are in prayer can pray. As we approach Holy Communion, we make a sign of reverence, a sign of adoration before we receive the body and the blood of Christ. We either make a profound bow of the waist in worship of God before receiving him, or at the discretion of the individual, you may kneel as the church has constantly taught and continues to teach. But there's other practices besides just genuflecting and bowing that help form our love and devotion for the Eucharist. One is the fast that we keep before the Eucharist, that the church asks us to fast from food and beverage for 1 hour before we receive the Eucharist. Now, much to my dismay, this includes coffee. So, early in the morning when I have Mass, I have to plan to get up early to drink my coffee in order not to break the fast. Water and medicine don't break the fast, though. Why are we told that we must fast before we receive the body and blood of Christ? Because that fasting creates within us a hunger for God. And it becomes a physical reminder that we are preparing to step out of the ordinary and to do something really extraordinary and receive God himself into our very selves. So that fasting is a space within us to hunger and long for the Eucharist. Now, we only approach the Holy Eucharist in the state of grace, right? If we're in mortal sin, we have to go to the sacrament of reconciliation before we present ourselves. So if we have broken the commandments or the precepts of the church, we have to go to confession before we receive the Eucharist. It's a sin of sacrilege to receive Holy Communion in the state of sin. In fact, St. Ambrose says, those who receive Holy Communion in the state of mortal sin commit a sacrilege. They not only receive Jesus Christ, but also with him, Satan, into their hearts. Satan, that he may rule their hearts, and Christ, to offer him on the altar as a sacrifice to Satan. Strong language. He's echoing what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that we have to examine ourselves before we present ourselves to receive the Eucharist, to ensure that we're in right relationship. This is also why we've always taught you have to be Catholic to receive the Eucharist. Because you have to have communion of mind and heart with the teachings of the church in order to truly be in communion with the body of Christ. If we don't hold the teachings of the church, if we're not in the state of grace, if we're not a member of Christ's church that was founded by him, then we're not truly in full communion. And so communion would be a lie as we presented ourselves for the Eucharist. So in those moments where we can't receive the Eucharist, or family members or friends come to the church, we should instruct them to cross their arms like this and to receive a blessing from the priest or the extraordinary minister, and to make an act of spiritual communion, inviting Jesus spiritually to enter into their hearts. And lastly, as Catholics, we should always be looking for opportunities to make a visit to Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. You know, if you come to the church for anything throughout the week, you know, you don't want to come to drop off clothes without stopping in and saying hi to Jesus and making a visit. Because he is, as St. Peter Julian Aimard says, a prisoner of love in the tabernacle. Christ has made himself a prisoner of love where he waits there for us to visit him. Because he loves us and he longs for us. And so we want to have a practice of when we pass the church to make the sign of the cross, acknowledging in our hearts, Jesus dwells over there in the Eucharist. That's truly him. And if we can, to make a visit and stop in and just spend even 2 or 3 minutes. Or even just to walk in the door and genuflect and acknowledge his presence. But that's the Catholic instinct when it comes to the real presence of the Eucharist. Our actions should show our faith in the real presence and our belief that Christ is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist will grow as we show deeper reverence for the most blessed sacrament of the altar. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. Amen.